So, in this season and time, I've been paying attention. You guys have noticed from the messages to gratitude. It's kind of what Nelly was talking about there. The change of times and scenery and the things that God begins to do to move you to the next level of your life, right? And let me click this okay. And what I've realized is the power of the scripture says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now I want to like lay it out before I jump all in. There's a power in reflection to catapult you to what God has called you to. Laying that out, there's a thesis. Just grab that. My title is The Power in Reflection. But there's a power in reflection to catapult you to what God has called you to. When people talk about their past, they have a tendency to do one of two things: murmur and complain, have a pity party, or reflect, as Nelly was just doing, and this was when planned, she just did that, on where you were versus where you are. And sometimes when you focus on where you are seems stagnant because you're only looking at where you are. In other words, a snail is going forward very slowly, but he's going forward. And every movement forward is moving yourself from the past, unless you look back at your past with anchors. And you see when I get to my scripture what I'm talking about. I've noticed in my own life that when I look at the past, I can think of good times, and then you long for those days. Man, I remember, people that talk like that. It was so simple back then. Oh, back in the day, music as an thing was better, the food was better, life was better, the grass was greener, and their whole reflection is on yesterday being better than today. So even though they may not be complaining or murmuring, they're anchoring themselves to something that's behind them. Therefore, that prevents them from really going forward to what's good. Because if you believe what's better is what's behind you, then there's nowhere for you to go, even naturally, but backward. You bear witness with me? So with that said, I said reflection can be pity party, but it also can be longing for something that no longer exists. And it still takes away from me going forward to what I'm called to. Walk with me a little bit. I always looked at reflection or dwelling on the past as being negative things. But when you look at the Bible, they got cursed for 40 years in the wilderness to all die there because of reflection. They said, hear me out, it was better when we were slaves in Egypt because at least we had food. So they decided in this nostalgic reflection to equate them not knowing where their next meal is coming from and having to trust God for it to slavery and decided that slavery was better. This is what I'm saying right here. I'm laying out a foundation. I remember when I was young, we used to have this and we used to have that. So you prefer to go back to being immature and young, and your mom didn't have the responsibilities and these bills. Okay, so you want to go back to being a child and not being able to make any decisions for yourself and being incompetent of even making a choice just so somebody else can pay your bills for you. And, you know, you understand the danger that I'm pointing out here? That means God is always put in the place that what was is better than what is, and even what may be to come. It's dangerous. You can't go forward looking backward. So I really, during this season, had to say to myself, even with the negative things in my life that I've experienced, God, you're telling me I need you to be careful not to reminisce too much on what was. And just as I said it, the scripture popped up in my mind and in my spirit, forgetting those things which are behind, you press forward to the mark of the high calling. Forgetting those things. And he said to my spirit, you notice I didn't say forgetting the bad things. I said forgetting those things which are behind. You notice he didn't point out the evil and the wrong and the shortcomings in there. He said just everything. Reflect, but move on. So I began to say, well, God, it's interesting when I'm in between destiny and history. And I sit in this place in between destiny and history. And because I don't have yet the manifestation of destiny, it's easier for me to remember history. Did I lose anybody? See, it's easier for you to reflect on what was when you're not 100% standing in faith for what is to come. So you can only see what is, and you can see what was, and those two will gang up on you to make you neglect destiny. So that means I have to go to a land whose maker and builder is God, a land that I have not yet seen, nor can I identify. I think I'm quoting scripture here. I may be wrong, but I think I'm quoting some Bible stuff right here. He said, I have to see those things that be not as though they are, and I got to focus on destiny with more zeal and energy and heart than I do on the present and the past, which I know. So I got to focus on what I don't know in the natural over two things that are yelling at me every day. If you look at the word of God, and if you want to be just ready in advance, go to Psalms 45. And we're going to talk about how God has created us to be people that always focuses on destiny. Destiny and purpose is what you're put here for. Not yesterday or to even get too comfortable in the today. Let me see. So Jesus is with his disciples and he goes up to a mountain. He's transfigured before them and they see him standing there with Moses and Elijah. And they say, remember those magic words they said? This moment is good. And how do they follow up on that? Put it in the chat. What do they say after they said, this moment is good? I see you with Elijah. I see you with Moses. Jesus standing out. Jesus, our Jesus, our very Jesus that we walk around and do miracles with. Oh, shoot. He's standing there. And what did they say? Did you put it in the chat? What did they say? Let me see. I'm going to go to chat and see if you put it in there. Yep, they offered to build tabernacles. Yes. Okay, let's make a tabernacle for the three of us. Yes. Thank you, Edwidge. Let's stay here. That's what they said. They said, let's build three tabernacles for the three of you and let's stay here. If that doesn't prove the foundation of my message, nothing does. They saw people from the past They remembered the goodness of that and the stories they heard. They are looking at the situation in the present, and they said, let's go no further. When you look at your past, whether it looks good to you or not, and then you look at your present, and especially if you're in a place where you've seen the move of God, it's very, very tempting to say, let's forget destiny and let's park in the present. Let's forget what we're called to because this seems comfortable. I know I'm talking to somebody right now. You can keep your straight face and look left and right, up and down, act like I ain't talking to you. But I've talked to enough of y'all to know that I know I'm telling the truth right about now. Okay? I know I am. Okay? And I have to stop myself because I go, life's okay. It's pretty good. But destiny is an irritant at times. It's a nagging little thing. It's a poke and prod. It's a, you know, I don't want to be unhappy where I am, but then I know I can't be content where I am because I need to be called to the next level. And Lord, what is the fire that needs to come up under me to keep me going forward, even though I'm comfortable where I am? And that's why the church and the devil and religion has created the suffering doctrine. Well, God got to make you go through it, and he got to make you go through pain so you can learn. That's nowhere in the Bible. All the time when you look in the Bible, when they went through it, is because they got disobedient or they stayed parked where they were not supposed to be any longer. Even when Jesus left, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel. And what did they do? They parked their behinds right there. They started having Bible studies and fellowships and getting together at each other's house. And they wasn't going nowhere outside of Jerusalem to preach the gospel until the persecution came. And once the persecution came, they went, the scripture said, running into all the outer countries, sharing the gospel with everybody who would listen. See, so don't say God had to make you go through it. You sometimes just need to go through it because you won't go through it. I got to the place where God, I don't want to be spanked into my destiny. I don't want to be poked and burned and prodded to get to where you called me. Let my heart be a ready heart that I can go when you tell me to go, and I can stop when you tell me to stop. Remember when I started confessing that a little over a year ago? I started speaking that, Lord, I want your go to be my go, your stop to be my stop, your yes to be my yes, your no to be my no. Remember when I, see, it's the power of speaking words like that into the air, the whole whipper and all these things that I've had you guys speaking for years. It's because I'm trying to make you ingrained in your own spirit. I'm not trying to minister to your mind, and I want to make sure you understand this today. I'm not trying to speak to your mind. I'm not trying to speak to your emotions. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me jump. No, I don't care if you jump around or not. I want to know that I put a seed in your spirit that's going to germinate and turn into something powerful, and you're going to wake up one day and find yourself thinking, feeling, acting, and moving in a different way and not even know how you got there. And can the people say amen up in here? So, God began to speak to me about destiny, because you guys have heard me for the past month or so saying, this is where God has me. I want to know what my purpose is, why I'm here. I know what a blessing is, at least I think I do, on the level that I know a blessing, you know, on what I, you know, what I've come to experience a blessing as. You know, I've never lacked a meal or the means to pay a bill for close to 30 years now. With a church no more than about 20 or 30 people. I see pastors begging and doing 15 and 16 offerings and trying to, and I never had to do anything like that. Never raised money to buy the building, never raised money to buy furniture or anything in it. Because I know the God who said, look at the birds of the air, they toil not, neither do they spin, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better? I happen to be one of them dummy people, if you want to call me that, that I just believe that if he says stuff like that, it's real and I should give it a shot. That's just me. And if it fails, let me just say this to you. I didn't plan to say this, but let me say this to you. And if I step out on the things that I believe are God, are you listening to me? And I really step all out and go all in like you'll see me go in. And it fails. I failed on my own. I'd rather fail doing what I believe God has called me to do because he in it with me. Now I can say, look at God, and say, well, God, look like we messed up. I don't know. I did what I thought you said. And he always said, no, you didn't. And he always comes through. But listen, everybody on here know how to fail. There's not one person on here that don't know how to fail. So I'd rather fail going forward with God than to fail in my own strength. That's just my logic on it. You do with that what you want. Take that if you like it. But that's my thing. I'd rather fail knowing, God, I did what you said. And if it don't work, it didn't work with me doing what I believe you told me to do it. Can't go wrong with that. Because God ain't going to be made a fool of. His word says that. His word says that in James chapter 1. He says that. God's word, and he ain't gonna make a fool out of himself. His gifts and callings are about turning a shadow of repentance. He not a man that he to lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God's like, I'm not gonna look dumb. It's not gonna happen. Now, with this said, let's wrap. Let's bring on this. Let's bring in this word here, and let's talk about perspective and who we're trusting. Because when we read these Psalms, and I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying right now, because this is important. Listen close to me. When we read these Psalms, are you listening? When we read these books and we get encouraged and we get pumped up and fluffed up by them, I need you to understand something. We're reading history. We're reading the things and the moves and the works of God and the things that God has done. And we're trying to be encouraged by that past to motivate us to our future. Am I correct? We're trying to feel to find our confidence in this word to believe that everything he said, he will do. Am I correct? I need you guys to understand something. When they wrote this, it hadn't happened. So they were writing it from a perspective of what they were believing for, based on something had not happened. You got it easy because you're believing on it based on a written book of proofs that it happens. You have a blueprint. They were writing the blueprint. So they are writing this word talking about a promised Messiah who has not come while they are yet under Roman rule in some cases, or in slavery in some cases, or whatever the case may be. Here they are, in a place that they're expecting and writing about it and then trusting in it to come. Even though you're trusting in it to come, you have history to anchor yourself in based on these great and mighty testimonies, the Bible said. All these great and precious promises, the acts of the apostles and stuff from the past and the prophets and whatever. And you get to see the works and anchor yourself with a different kind of hope and confidence. So as I'm reading this to you, it's going to touch your heart as hallelujah. Thank you. That's Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. But they didn't have no Jesus. And when Jesus did come, he didn't look nothing like what they thought he was going to look like. He didn't come in the way they thought he would. They thought he would come in with royal robes, with gold and jewels and draped down. Well, why would they expect Jesus to come like that? Because that's how God blessed Israel. So they said, if he got to at least have some Abraham-type wealth, he got to come with money and fine clothes. He got to have on the designer outfits and all that and be riding the flyest car. I know he got to have the top of the line Bentley. He's Jesus. But the scripture said that he was not comely. It was nothing about him that we would be attracted to in the natural. Most of the prophets of old, John the Baptist running around with wrapped in cloths and eating locusts and not shaving and taking a bath. I mean, nobody's trying to hear from this man. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, this is the way God says, no, I'm going to do great and mighty things for you, sons and daughters of God. But watch your eyesight, watch your reflection on history, watch your expectation, because a lot of time is not going to come dressed the way you think it's going to come. It's going to come. Somebody say it's going to come. It's manifested. It's mine now. God help me see it when it comes. That person that just right now, I don't know who this is for, that person that's pissing you off right now, getting on your nerves, may have your answer in the bag right there. You may be entertaining angels underwear. You just don't know that the person with the answer may be the person you're trying to get rid of and praying for God to get them out your face. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm not prophesying that. I don't want you to keep nobody in your life that ain't supposed to be there. I'm just saying you need to stop and take a minute and say, God, why is this person here? Especially if you done prayed 4 or 5 times and they ain't left yet. And you ain't got that new job yet. You may need to stop and say, Father, okay, is there something I'm missing here? Who am I talking to right now? I know I'm talking to somebody. Okay. So let's get in here. Psalm 45. It starts off with, and I'm reading from the Amplified. My heart overflows with good theme. I address my psalm to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a skillful writer. Listen to what he's saying about the king. You are fairer than the sons of men. Graciousness is pouring upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Strap on your sword, strap on your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and in your majesty. And in your majesty, ride on triumphantly. For this cause of truth and humility and righteousness, let your right hand guide you to awesome things. Let me stop right there. This is the person writing to the king. And in his expectation, he's writing prophetically. He's not identified an earthly king, even though it sounds like he's talking to the king of his time. But he's writing prophetically. And we'll see that as we go on. I'm going to go back to four, I think that says. Okay, I'm going to go back to four. And in your mighty, in your majesty, ride on triumphantly for the cause of truth and humility and righteousness. Let your right hand guide you to awesome things. Your arrows are sharp. The people of the nation fall under you. Your arrows pierce the heart of the king's enemies. And this is where you know who he's talking to. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness, virtue, morality, and justice, and hated wickedness. So, from the perspective of the now, he's talking about a king in the order and in the familiarity of a king. But when he goes in to say, but your throne, O God, is forever and ever, you come to the realization that this is worship from the perspective that can be understood by man, directed toward him that is to come, and the God who's the keeper of all. So I'm trying not to get too poetic here, but this is one of those kind of things. He's acknowledging God. Are you listening? In the familiar. He's acknowledging God in the way things function all the time. He talks about his majesty. He talks about his splendor. He talks about his sword. He talks about his arrows piercing kings. He's talking about the things that afflict them every day as if his king he's talking about is dealing with everything that he's dealing with in his everyday life on a natural order. I submit to you, he is. I submit to you that if Jesus walked the earth today, he would have his iPhone and he would have his computer and he would have his stuff and he would know how to use all of it and he would know how to use all of it to get to the place he needed you to get without a problem. I sat there and watched. It's a video I'm doing now. And in the video, the gentleman is talking about hotels need to be full to make money. They don't want the wholesale at 10%. And the average they're looking for is that 93. And he went on to say, likewise, so does hospitals. They need them full to make money. They don't make money if the hospital's empty. And pharmacies don't make money if there's not new prescriptions going out and you'll be diagnosing sicknesses from the hospitals to prescribe these drugs to people. And I went on and added, and that's why these prisons need to be full because they don't want the prisons empty. They need them full because that's how they make money. And he went on to say, and military contractors need war. They can't make money unless there's war. And I went on to say, and that's why if you think any political candidate, be it Trump or Kamala, cares about anything but those things that I just mentioned, you're fooling yourself. They're not your king. They're not coming from that perspective. They're coming from a natural perspective to do what it takes to appease the people who put them in office. That's the whole game. So people vote Republican or Democrat, by the way, which I'm neither. They vote either one of those based on what gets trickled down to you. You vote for them based on what they say. I'm gonna throw you down some of the crumbs of these major contractors, and which one of you going to get the more crumbs is going to be based on who's in office. But the lion's share of a hospital is not to get you well, is to keep the beds full. So there was a time you would go to the hospital, you may not notice youngins, and you would have a baby and you stayed in the hospital for 5 or 6 days. They toss your behind right out. They need to get somebody else in that bed. That's where that money come from. You as soon as you drop the baby, they rolling you to the door and oh, we forgot the kid. Let me go back get the kid for you. Like you all that, you need to clear this out. See? My point is, our focus on today and yesterday can blind us from destiny, which is bigger and better and larger than where we are. So my plea, my prayer, my focus is your king is not of earthly sort, even though he will function in this earthly realm on your behalf. How much he functions in this earthly realm on your behalf depends on your faith and your ability to allow him to flow on your behalf, either as the reigning king of glory or as a situation, circumstance, or fixer. You know, well, Jesus, won't he do it? He'll make it happen. And what you're talking about is the little thing that you face in the day. Won't he do it? I need to pay my rent. Jesus can't do it. Won't he do it? And Jesus, like, listen, I'm trying to give you a cattle on a thousand hills, and you still relegating me to helping you get your bills paid this month. What does your king look like? Does he look like your present circumstance? Does he look like your yesterday? Or does he look like the reigning king of glory coming with all power and majesty on his hip, on his side, and his train filled with glory as he dances across the stars on your behalf? And this is the Messiah that I want to know. This is the Savior that I want to have a relationship. I don't want the won't he do it. And I left my chicken fried and I came home and it wasn't even burned. Jesus could fry some chicken. And you hear these kind of stupid stories. And I'm like, and this is what your Jesus do. Make sure the chicken don't burn when you at church. Okay. And according to your faith, be it unto you. What I'm submitting to you today is your king is so much more powerful. He's so much bigger. And if you would just let him, the destiny is so much bigger than the past and so much grander than the present. It's so much more. It's so much more. Whose report will you believe? In Jesus' name. And amen. That was good. That was a good word. I love you guys. Blessings.